Well, when you got here this morning, things looked a little different, and that's a good thing. I want to express our appreciation to Larry Sparks for kind of heading up the decoration and set in here. We appreciate all Larry's work. Lisa and Teresa primarily responsible for heading up the rest of the building and the work that was done there, although we had a number of folks who came and helped them make all that come together. We appreciate all that. Appreciate you guys working so hard to make this come together in such a meaningful way. And we are excited about Maker Fun Factory. It gives us an opportunity to share with the kids five major things that on the surface seem really simple, and they're perfect for children to hear. But, you know, it's also basically powerful, important stuff for all of us to hear. It's, I guess where I'm going with this is this. I don't think there's any greater theological concept for any of us to eventually grasp than Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. I don't know that there's anything more powerful for us to get than that. Maybe if there is something close to that, it might be Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. You put those two things together and you kind of come up with love God with all your heart, mind, soul, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else kind of takes care of itself after that, right? So this morning I'm going to share with you what we're going to share with the kids. But don't be fooled by its simplicity. Because as simple as the words are, the truth is profound. And I want to make sure that we celebrate that truth this morning. So let's just kind of have a little bit of fun and let me walk through the week with you. Starting tomorrow, we're going to find out that God made you. Now, you know that already, but what a powerful, meaningful truth that is. That you and I are not mistakes. We didn't just kind of appear. We didn't just kind of come up out of some ooze somewhere. God made us. He is the creator. And what that means to us is that there is a being who intentionally brought us into being, and so we have a reason to be. When a being creates a being, there's a reason for that being to be. God made you. And not only did he make you, but it's amazing how he made us. Scripture says that he made man from the dust of the ground. Genesis 2, he created man from the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That God started with the dirt of the ground. And you know, what we've discovered not recent, but modern era, what we've discovered is that our bodies are made up of basically the same elements as everything else in the world, in the earth. And so it fits, it makes sense that he starts with the earth and then he puts that in the form that he wants it to be in, and then he breathes into that form the breath of life. God is our creator, and it is amazing not only how he created us, but it's amazing how intricately he did so. If you look at the human body, isn't it incredible how all the different systems work together? It's amazing. We are still discovering more and more every day about how the human body it works together, and how it was all put together in just the right way is mind-blowing. And so said the psalmist in Psalm 139, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You and I grew up hearing the verse that says we are We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's incredible to think about how God put us together. He is indeed a great builder and an awesome creator. And so we're going to celebrate that God created all of us. He created us differently. He put us together in a marvelous and wonderful way. And so we're all different because that was his plan. We're also going to meet a fun little critter whose name is Decker. Decker is a decorator crab. Now, a decorator crab is perhaps different than many crabs that you and I see. The decorator crab is a deep sea critter, and all over his shell, God has put these very small little hooks. And so his shell works kind of like Velcro. And he will go around and get stuff that he can find. He'll get little coral, or he'll get little moss, or he'll get whatever he can find around there. And he attaches that to his shell. He decorates his home constantly. And how come some of the husbands are looking at their wives funny? He decorates his home constantly. He's always built. Now, what he does that in order to camouflage himself. He looks like his surroundings. But it's amazing that God put into this little critter you think wouldn't even have much of a brain at all, it put in him the ability to decorate his place and to fit into the world around him. Now, if God is going to take that much time to do that in a crab that you and I are probably not ever going to see because it's way out in the deep sea somewhere, imagine how much more he cares about how he put us together and how he did that by design. The next day we're going to look at the great truth that God is for you. He did not just create us and then step back and kind of watch to see how we messed everything up and kind of stay aloof and watch what we did. He created us, but not only did he create us, he is for us. That's a major concept that many people never get, and that's incredibly sad when they don't get it. God is not a big bully up there trying to force you to be good. God created you, and he's for you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to experience fullness, abundance, and joy. That's part of the creation, part of the plan. He is for you. And if God is for us, who can ever be against us? That's a powerful thought, isn't it? If God is for us, and he is the greatest power in all of the entire universe, then who can stand against us? If God's for us, we've got it handled. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen, because I promise they will, and more importantly, Jesus promised that bad things would happen to his followers. You can be guaranteed that bad things will happen to you, even if you're following Jesus. But when those bad things happen, he is with you. You're not alone. And that's a powerful, powerful thing for us to understand. You are not alone when things happen. God is for us. We're going to look that day at the story of Rahab. And Rahab, you may remember, Rahab was in the land by Jericho, where the children of Israel had wandered through the wilderness. Now they're going to enter into the promised land. In order to take the promised land, they're going to have to take Jericho. And so there are a couple of spies who go in, and they kind of look around, and they see what's going on in here. And while they're looking around, they're about to get caught. So Rahab hides them, and she hides them under a stack of flax. And flax is an amazing plant. We won't go into that this morning, but just consider it like a grain, like kind of like wheat. Matter of fact, if you look real close, you can see these funny little dudes hiding right here underneath that grainy stuff with it, that flax. I just love that picture because their eyes look so scared as they're looking up at that big sword. But those little dudes are hiding there. Rahab hides those folks out, and then afterwards, when the bad guys go away, Rahab and the two spies make an agreement. And the agreement is basically this, that God says to Rahab, since you took care of my people, I'm going to take care of you. Later on, when we come in to conquer the town, all you have to do is tie a red cord at your house, and that's going to let everybody know to leave that house alone. You're going to be covered by the scarlet cord. We're going to make sure that you're okay. And sure enough, that was how God took care of Rahab, because Rahab took care of those spies. You see, even in their fear, God was with his people. God was with those spies and took care of them. On that day, we're going to meet Tina. Tina's a termite. And you think, well, wait a minute, termites destroy. Well, they do in our setting. When we've got wooden houses that we're trying to take care of, we think of them as destructive. But if you could see them in the wild, they are incredible builders. Termites build these massive towers, taller than a man. And they all work together, and they build these very strong towers. As a matter of fact, architects and engineers have investigated, investigated is not the right word, but they have looked carefully at these structures to learn how to build stronger structures, because the termites can build these massive towers that are very strong, very stable, very sturdy. And so as we look at how these little bitty critters, I mean, you can't even hardly see Tina. She's so small. Little bitty thing could fit on the end of your pinky. And yet, working together, they're able to build something massive and powerful and strong like that. It's a reminder to the youngest ones among us, to the smallest ones. God is with you. Even when you feel little, even when you feel insignificant, God is with you. And so I want to remind you this morning as well, that whatever you're going through, and I don't know what all you're going through, but I know you're going through something because you're human. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. You remember the psalmist? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? What's the next line? For thou art with me. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to show you through Scripture. We're going to walk through front to back in Scripture, and I'm going to show you that I believe that is the major theme of the Bible, that God is with us. I hope you're here next Sunday to be a part of that experience. But we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, and we're going to learn God is for us. As he's for us, that leads us right into Wednesday. He's for us, and so he's with us. That God is always with you is Wednesday. And on Wednesday, we're going to learn Joshua chapter 1. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. No matter what happens in life, you can know that he's there. Wherever we go, he's there. One of the things that I like to do with kids at children's sermon time every once in a while, I say, well, God's at my house. Is he at your house? Well, is he at the school? Well, is he at the doctor's office? Is he at City Hall? How can he be in all these places at once? And it's just amazing to consider, to stretch our brains, to try to comprehend God's omnipresence, that he is everywhere. So wherever you are, he is there. Wherever you go, he is there. Yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear. Why? Because thou art with me. He is with you wherever you go. And on that day, we're going to look at the story of Gideon. I know this one's a little bit tough to see because it's so dark, but it's the story of Gideon. And the picture is dark because it happens at night. As you remember, Gideon started with around 30,000 people in his army. He had about 30,000 men who were ready to fight. And then he stood before them and he said, hey guys, this is about to get scary. This is about to get real. We're about to go into a true battle. So if you're scared at all, go home. And roughly, let's say about 20,000 of them left. Left him with about 10,000. And so God said, you know what? That's still not that's still too many. we're going to whittle this down a little bit. And so he said, tell them all to go get a drink. And so they all went to get a drink. And some of them just stuck their face down in the water there drank like that, and they were kneeling down, sticking their face in. Others of them just kind of went down, and it said they lapped. In other words, they would use their hand and kind of feel their hand and do this. And there were about 300 who drank like this. Now, you're a warrior. As a warrior, you want to keep your eyes open. You want to be alert. You want to be ready to move in a moment's notice. And if you're drinking like this, you got your eyes up, you can see what's happening. If you're on the ground and your face is down in the water, you can't see what's going on. You can't move very quickly. And so on that day, because of the way they drank water, the numbers get whittled down from something around 10,000 to something like 300. And then God says, okay, now, an army of 300 is what we need. You say, why would we go from 30,000 to 300? Because had they gone in to fight the enemy with 30,000, they may have made the mistake of saying, we got it. We did it. They face that massive army with only 300. They recognize that God was at work. God did this. God brought the victory. And so sure enough, he shows them a very unique way of getting the enemy. And what they did was they put a torch inside a pitcher. Each one of them had a torch and a pitcher, and they had a trumpet. They surrounded the enemy camp, and at just the right time, they broke the pitcher so the light all of a sudden burst forth. And so the enemy sees these lights all around them, and then they all blew their trumpets so they hear the sound all at once. And the enemy gets scared. They turn on themselves. They freak out, and the good guys win. That's the short version. But the whole idea is to trust in God instead of doing it on our own, that we can trust in him, that we can depend on him. He's always with us, and he can take care of us through all of that. And on that day, we're gonna meet Bubba. And Bubba is he's a whale. These whales have a unique unique way of fishing for little fish. You can imagine that great big whale, how he's going to catch little fish for dinner. It must be very difficult to catch enough fish to really fill his belly. So what they do is they use air as a net. You can see on the picture on the wall or over here how he's got bubble coming out of a net. That's because they call this process of feeding bubble nets. What they do, the whales will go underwater and they'll blow air so that it causes all these bubbles to come together. Many times the whales will work together to do this, but they blow out a bunch of bubbles, and all these bubbles catch the school of fish. They're bubbles all around this school, and so the school of fish kind of turn in on each other, and they don't quite know what to do. They're kind of confused. And then once you get that school of fish all confused in all these bubbles, all you got to do as a great big whale is come up and just swallow the whole thing. Then you just shoot the extra water and the air out through your air hole, and the fish are in your belly, and you got fed. All done by air. And so when that happens, we're going to talk about how cool air is, in that it has power to accomplish something that great, but you can't even see it. And we can't even see our God physically, but we know that he has the power that is necessary to take care of us and provide for us. We look around and we don't see him, but we know he's there. The next day we're going to talk about God will always love you. Now, you know God loves you. Do you really know within, personally, that it's always? Or do you, like most people, think that you earn his love on the days that you're good and you do the right things, and then the next day you kind of let him down and his love kind of dwindles? You see, he always loves you because he is love. Love is determined by his character, not your behavior or your actions. It doesn't mean he's happy with your actions, but he always loves through them. And so the scripture says your unfailing love will last forever. He always loves you. And on that day, that's Thursday, we'll get to talk about the greatest demonstration of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We'll also talk about God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He not only gave his Son, but then he allowed his Son to die on the cross for us. It's a tremendous amount of love, a love that never ends. It's an incredible love, and he put his best forward to provide that love for us. And on that day, we're going to meet another interesting critter, the barrel bird. Yeah, something like that. The barrel bird is an Australian critter. And this bird, you know birds build nests. Instead of building a nest, this bird builds a house on the ground. He'll gather all the twigs and the trees, all the twigs and the leaves, whatever he does, and he builds this big structure on the ground. He'll even prop up sticks in the middle for columns. And this is a big structure on the ground. And then he will gather all the colorful leaves that he can find, and he will stack them over here. And then he'll get all the acorns that he can find, and he'll stack them neatly, kind of build a structure. He'll stack them neatly over here. Then he'll find all the colorful stones that he can find, and he'll stack them over here. And he builds this massive home. This is a big structure, and outside on the lawn, if you will, he's got all these decorations. The idea is to attract a mate. And in order to demonstrate that, he puts out his best to attract her. And we're going to tie that to the idea that God has put out his best to show his love for us. And then on the last day, we celebrate that God made you for a reason. Not only did he create you, not only is he here with you, but you have a reason and a purpose. God created you for a reason. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord in Jeremiah. You're not put together by mistake. You're here on purpose. You have a reason. And that's a good thing to know, isn't it? That we're not just treading water and waiting our time, but we're here for a reason. So we can discover that reason and find purpose in life. And on that day, we're going to celebrate that Jesus came back to life. And we're going to celebrate the good news that we get to share with one another as we recognize our purpose in his overall plan. On that day, we're going to meet Abby. Her name is Abby because she's a bee. She is a bee, and we're going to talk about how the bees build their hives and how they've got little compartments, and in each compartment, this special kind of bee puts everything that the larva is going to need to survive. They put everything in that one little compartment that larva is going to need in order to grow and to survive. And she has a purpose. Abby has a reason. You and I have a reason. So you put all that together and you discover that God made you. And the reason that's good news is because it helps to know that I don't have to understand me. The one who put me together understands me. He put me together. He not only put me together, but he's here with me. He's walking through this experience with me, and he's for me. He wants me to be happy and joyful and fulfilled. He wants me to find abundant life. In order to prove that, he demonstrated his love, and he sent his own Son to die on the cross for me. And after that Son died on the cross, he came back to life so that I too could experience full, abundant, and purposeful life. Put it all together, and we get the greatest story ever told. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the good news that you created us, you love us, you're with us. You demonstrated your love for us, and now you walk with us each day. We're grateful for that. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd help each one of us to understand that in a deeper, more personal way than ever before. And as we are reminded of that, as we are awakened to it, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to know what you want us to do about it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together a chorus, kind of a time of invitation. And if the Lord is calling you today to trust in the one who died for you, came back to life for you, so that your life could have meaning and purpose. Would you come? Let's pray about that together. You can give your life to Christ and trust Him personally today and leave here a different person with meaning and purpose. Could also be that that part of your life is already established and settled, but maybe God is calling you to join our church or enter into missions or ministry. Come and share those with us as well. The altar is open. If you feel led to come and have a time of recommitment, you can just come and pray on your own, spend that time with the Lord in repentance or whatever. Also might be that you have a special need for prayer, someone that you know of who's ill or sick, someone that you're concerned about, maybe the week ahead if you're one of the workers. I'd encourage you to come to the altar as well. Just spend some time praying, turning that time over to the Lord. Let's stand together as Jeremy leads us. If you have a commitment to make in a public way, come and share that with us. Otherwise, come to the altar and just spend some time in prayer.